This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Bill Baby Tao Schmidt, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here at 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and theradio.com. I'm taking you home Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 here on the Fan. We got Summerfest tickets to be given away all week long as the big gig kicks off on Wednesday night. Going to opening night, Big Bang, fireworks, all juiced up, Spark?
No, I'm not going. No.
No?
But I'm sure there'll be a lot of people there that'll have fun and have a good time. I think we may get there at some point during Summerfest, maybe, but it'll be like a afternoon thing on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon or
something. It's a good time to go.
Something along those lines.
Go check everything out, walk around, go to a couple of the shops, always a good time, get some food.
You see all the improvements that they've done there. Brand new U-Line stage that's up.
That's on the north end of the grounds,
right,
correct?
Yeah. Okay. That looks awesome. I saw it online and then I saw it from 794 a little bit when we were driving by. And then they've got the first stage done of the amphitheater as well. Most of that stuff, they raised the roof on the thing a little bit, and they did some other work. But most of the stuff they did there was the dressing rooms for the artists and all the back stuff. And then I think stage two is next year. That'll be more of an upgrade where you'll really, really notice. But they did enough to where you'll notice when you walk in this year that they've definitely changed some stuff.
Well, and I know some of the parts of expanding that roof was to be able to, some of the insane light shows that these acts are having nowadays was so that you could actually have some of the top guests there.
Correct. Yep. And that's the whole part of it. And then they've got this huge area with no seats in front of the stage. And the one article I read is like, this is for mosh pits and stuff. Okay. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Mosh pits and stuff like that, and crowd to gather up in front of the stage. You know, you could put this huge area in front.
Yeah, those are always fun, but like, I don't need it. Like, I
could, but those
I
people
go to a concert without having a mosh pit.
But those people that go to those shows,
it is more fun.
Mosh pits,
yeah, it is more fun.
Yeah,
you ever go see Five Finger Death Punch? You know exactly what the mosh pit actually is.
How would Orlovsky do in one of those things?
Now probably. Orlovsky's gotten a little bit soft in his old age, I think. I don't know if he'd actually be down to like shove some people around because you gotta be ready to get hit in a mosh pit.
I think Jeff has a lot of aggression that he needs to get out. I think Jeff would be fine in that area.
I would enjoy taking Jeff Orlovsky. That would be the one concert I would go to
with Jeff Orlovsky
to a Summerfest Screamo concert.
Right,
because then you can actually get into somebody for a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, that would actually be decent. I should ask him if he wants to go.
He would.
Maybe there's a Slayer playing. I don't know. I haven't looked at the full lineup. But there's also like a difference. I was having this conversation this weekend where like you become too old to go to the free stages. Like I feel like at this point I might be too old to be hanging around the Miller Lite stage too long.
There's a lot of these free concerts are for like people in their 50s and 60s.
Yeah, but
that's
high school kids don't know that. The freshmen in colleges don't
stop.
Know that.
No.
They still are.
A lot of these free stages have older
acts. I love the Goo Goo Dolls.
A lot of these free stages have older acts. Like they had Earth, Wind, and Fire there a while back. That place was packed. No teenagers, Earth, Wind, and Fire. But
yeah,
the older people.
Doubt it. There are a lot that had no idea Earth, Wind, and Fire was even
and
a
thing. They still went?
And they were still there.
Really?
Because it's Summerfest. Oh, yeah.
I know
opportunity
what these guys
to be unsupervised. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'm not going to any stage in which I don't know anything they say.
Guarantee they're a bunch.
Maybe that's because I'm an old guy now, but even when I was a young guy, I wasn't doing that.
Even if there was a young lady that had the fancies of a young Stephen Pfeiffer?
Those didn't exist. I didn't have that problem. Didn't have that issue at all. Nope.
You never mind.
I didn't have that issue.
That's a walk-off right there.
Yeah.
Is it time to move Ryan Braun to first base, Sparky?
That day. What did you say? Braun to first?
Because so far, Halloween's a bigger letdown than being a Mets fan.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
Is it time to?
It's about right.
Is it time to move Ryan Braun to first base and just forget about this Jesus Aguilar at first base nonsense? Travis Shaw, move him over to first. Then Moose can go to third. Then Keston here can fit in. Eric Thames, they're seeing like they're actually giving Eric Thames some real run over at first base. He's hitting over 250. The on base percentage is right around 385. But for the right-handed hitters, when you want to do the straight platoon, is it time to just give Ryan Braun number 8 that run at first base? Because I like the idea. I've been pitching this for a while.
And Rami was pitching it before you, our old co-host.
If Jesus Aguilar isn't going to hit, you want to have the righty-lefty split over there at first base in a platoon because you don't think Eric Thames can do it every day. Just put Ryan Braun in there and throw Ben Gamel out in left. Ben Gamel can be your 9-hole hitter so you can bat the pitcher 8th. You have the secondary leadoff right built in. Days that Kane needs a day off, Gamble goes over to center. Maybe Braun's out there and Thames is over at first, because I'd rather have Thames at first than out in the outfield. But if you have to go that way, vice versa, that's how you do it.
I think if they could get a better outfielder than Gamble at the deadline, and then Braun goes to first, then I'm okay with it. Then I'm fine with it. So if they go out and get a legitimate stick that's an outfielder that can play in the outfield with Yelich and Kane, and then Braun goes to first, you cut Aguilar, do whatever you're going to do, then I'm okay with it.
So you're saying like a full-time starting outfield.
Right.
Okay.
But I don't think I'm good enough with just Ben Gamel being the reason why Brian Braun has to go to first base. I don't think Ben Gamel is good enough for me to move Ryan Braun to first base at this point. But if I was able to, again, get a stick for the rest of the year in the outfield that's a legitimate offensive player, and then I'm able to move Braun to first base to keep his bat in the lineup, and I upgrade the corner spot, or at least have the same type of value, or upgrade it. And then Braun goes to first, which is an upgrade by significant value over Aguilar and Thames. Then, yeah, I'm okay with it. I don't know if Gamble's good enough for me to move Braun to first base.
But is Eric Thames good enough to keep Ryan Braun in the outfield and be able to take over first base almost every day? His batting average is just under 260, Sparky. He's turning the corner.
He's rolling.
His OPS is 860.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you look at him, he is a legitimate starter in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
He's in a contract here. You're only paying him $6 million. There's an outlier that if you're not going to put Ryan Braun over there at first base and keep the platoon, because Craig Counsell really likes playing the numbers, I'm down with you playing the splits, but if you're going to give somebody the run, I think Eric Thames deserves that shot.
But the counterpoint to that is, why do I want to ruin his trade value by playing him more? If I play him the way I've been playing him and his numbers stay the same or get better, he's going to have real value at the trade deadline when I come to go add a piece or do something at the trade deadline.
But he is your piece.
Not necessarily.
But he is your piece.
Because he's an expiring player. Because he's an expiring contract on top of everything else.
That he is.
Whose numbers are better than anybody expected.
Well, some expected.
Okay.
Well, some expected him to have a career year.
You did.
I did expect him to have a
contract
year.
Yes. Right. So here he is. Now, the risk you run is if I'm going to go out there and play him every day, those numbers may come back down to earth a little bit, and now you ruin any value you may have. Because Aguilar and Shaw are deemed useless at this point. So as far as trade value goes, other than they have controllable years, but neither one has done anything to warrant anybody wanting them. So things may be a piece that you can put together with a young pitching prospect and something else in order to go get player X at the trade deadline. And then you can make your determination of what you want to do at that point. Then Keston Hira is your second baseman, we think.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
This all fits in for Keston Hira to be there. Like, however I'm maneuvering either Eric Thames, your everyday first baseman, or Ryan Braun and Eric Thames splitting the time, this is all built around, Sparky, me believing Keston Hira is going to be here by the All-Star break.
I don't.
And in the lineup every single day at second base.
I know.
After the All-Star break.
Yeah, well.
Maybe.
After the trade deadline for sure. After the trade deadline for sure.
I don't know if they can wait that long. 414-799-1250.
I hope he's up tomorrow, but I'm just saying, realistically here, I think they're going to try and play this out to the trade deadline and then try and move pieces to make room and get something versus not getting anything currently.
And Tim Allen, you know how you believe in his hunches. Sometimes he just has a hunch, and a lot of times they become true. He called it yesterday. He believes, just a hunch, no inside information or anything, that Travis Shaw the Brewers will exercise the option on Travis Shaw, and Keston Hira will be up here by game time tomorrow.
Shaw will go to AAA.
And Shaw will be optioned to AAA.
After he just hit a 465-foot homer.
Bomb! Right inside the... Oh, man, that thing was sweet. You see how fast he got around those bases, too? He was juiced up. He needed that one. But it might be his last one. Yeah, it still might be his last one.
I don't think so.
414-799-1250. We'll see. Is it time to move Ryan Braun over to first base? Or an internal option, maybe one that's already there, is doing some things that you just don't know exactly what he's doing. I give you some of Eric Thames' numbers next. This is the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Go to Twitter, use the hashtag Big Show Tickets. Your opportunity at a pair of Summerfest tickets here on the Wendy's Big Show on a Monday. Sparky and Billy here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan, your chance at Summerfest tickets on Twitter today. Use the hashtag Big Show Tickets. Who's the one rival, your team's rival, that was so good you couldn't hate him? You just had to respect it. Got a vote in for Randy Moss. A couple for Brian Urlacher. Mine was Albert Pujols, and that's how this conversation gets started. Albert Pujols makes his return to Busch Stadium this past weekend, and the festivities were crazy. Yadier Molina took like two or three different minute timeouts so the fans could show Albert some love as he comes back to Busch Stadium. Most likely his last run. He's 39 years old. His contract wraps up after his age 41 year, and his production way down. Cardinal fans aren't worried about Albert Pujols, but then he comes in, hits a home run. It was a great moment. Curtain calls all around for a road player. What was the one rival that you just couldn't hate? Albert Pujols was one that comes to mind for me. Also, one dude, Sparky, that he was such an a-hole, and I just hated him so much, but I loved watching him because I knew him and Brett Favre were going to get into something, was Warren Sapp. Like, there was no way I was missing a Buccaneers game when the Packers were playing the Bucs, because there was going to be some way, somehow, Warren Sapp found his way into the face of Brett Favre, and Brett Favre wasn't going to back down. It was going to be fun. I was going to enjoy it.
Warren Sapp?
I didn't like Warren Sapp. I just liked watching him play.
He's the one that took out Jack Clifton.
Yes.
That guy?
Yes.
The guy that Mike Sherman was going to go fight?
Was going to go fight in the hospital for Chad Clifton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've never rooted for Warren Sapp a day in my life. No, absolutely not. Mm-mm. No chance. Never rooted for Deion Sanders, day in my life. Michael Irvin, nope, never did.
Troy Aikman. We got a couple for Deion Sanders coming in here.
Troy Aikman, Emmett Smith. No, none of them. Never root for any of them. If you were a Cowboy, I was definitely rooting against you in every given opportunity, more times than not. I mean, even, I'm thinking back, like, even the San Francisco 49ers, Jerry Rice, great player. Was I ever like, oh boy, Jerry Rice, oh, appreciate that touchdown catch against the Packers? No. Jerry Rice, unbelievable. You kidding? I'd be kidding me. I mean, very difficult for me to ever appreciate anybody when your team is getting beat against them.
One,
it's different when, you know, you're watching a game in which your team is not playing.
Sure.
Then that, okay, that's different, right? But mm-hmm. when you're getting your brains beaten by Michael Jordan, I'm not appreciating anything.
Got a couple for Walter Payton. Yours was Barry Sanders, as you really couldn't come up with anything, but that's because you're a little bit of a spiteful individual.
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit. We also have one from a Connecticut fan, born in Connecticut, huge UConn basketball fan. The dude was everywhere, and he was an absolute brick wall, is Christian Laettner. Christian Laettner was despised by a lot of people, but it was hard for you not to enjoy watching him play because you knew he was going to start fighting somebody.
I was going to say, I've always wanted somebody to punch him. I was never enjoyed watching him
but
play.
But that's part of the fun of this. Like, I enjoyed the games when Warren Sapp would play Brett Favre because I knew somebody was going to pop him. Or he was going to pop one of my players, and I was going to be pissed at him.
Adam tweets at the Fan Packers 12th man, Jay Cutler.
That's a good one. That's also very Cavallari, is made by Jay Cutler.
Ryan tweets at the Fan, never watched that day in my life, nor will I.
Oh,
Ryan
should.
Tweets at the Fan, John Randall would be his. The former Vikings defensive lineman would be another one. Yeah, so there's a bunch of guys coming in.
There's also, you can also use the Vikings because you knew that they weren't going to win a Super Bowl. I mean, like a Viking player, kind of like a Lion, where it's like your little brother, you just kind of pat him on the head like, nice try, bud.
Right.
Good day today. Yep. Nice work today. 414-799-1250. Is it time to move Ryan Braun over to first base? I think Eric Thames needs to get the everyday run that Sparky was taken away from last year, and Jesus Aguilar was given the keys to that car when Eric Thames goes down. Jesus Aguilar has not shown that he can play pretty much any day of the week, let alone every day, and Eric Thames hasn't been able to get that opportunity to take the keys and run with that job.
PG3 tweets at the fan, says no to the Ryan Braun question. Drop Jesus, and then he puts in parentheses, sorry, buddy, and let Thames be the guy doing well this year and can improve with even more consistent playing time. So there you go. There's one for
good
baby Tosh. Milwaukee Matt says, so if it becomes time to designate Aguilar, this makes it hurt way less because you get to still have a right-handed first base bat. Two questions to ask yourself. Number one, what's the risk-reward defensively at Braun at first base versus the outfield? Number two, are you ready to play Gamble every day? And you are correct. Defensively at first base is going to be shakier than the outfield, and I'm not ready for Ben Gamble to play every day. I totally agree. I'm not there.
But that's where Eric Thames comes in. He doesn't have to play every day.
Eric Thames cannot play the outfield.
Eric Thames cannot play the outfield. Keep him at first base, where he's comfortable. Eric Thames has played in 70 games this year. Ryan Braun in 72. The difference
relatively
in at-bats?
Equal. Seems like Braun's played way more.
90. Ryan Braun is over 250 at-bats. Eric Thames is just over 160.
Yep.
Eric Thames, slash line, 259, 378 on base, and a 482 slugging.
Michael tweets at the fan, yes, for Braun at first base, but, in capital letters, Gamble is not an everyday hitter, and Thames should never be in this outfield. Gotta make a move.
But can Eric Thames be that dude at first base? That's where I'm looking at with this. I understand Ryan Braun can play anywhere. Well, defensively, no, we saw that at third base.
Ryan, good okay, as tweets.
But you were offering him at second base last year, and he was offering to play second base.
I think he was being sarcastic. Good okay, as tweets at the fan, never seemed like Braun was comfortable at first base. In fact, he described himself as, quote, not even remotely comfortable, end quote, when asked about it last spring.
Neither was Travis Shaw when he started playing second base. He had told everybody that he had never played second base before, ever.
Yep. Brew Crew fan, okay, tweets at 105.7 FM, the fan. Or you could platoon Thames with Perez at first. Perez has hit lefties well all year and gives you another righty in the lineup. Or Perez can play left field when Braun plays first. I like you that.
I'm fine with Aaron on Perez being the opportunity to go out into the outfield.
Being the platoon guy, too, I'm fine with.
But HP is also, and I've ran with the HP flag quite a few different times.
But you were on against them a little bit last week.
He can't play every day, really. He really can't play every day. He's shown that in his career.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Tigers cut him and why you were able to get him after he was a top 20 pick in the MLB draft.
Let me just say this. Tigers never would have cut him had he been like this in Detroit. Mm-hmm. He was way, 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 way worse than this in Detroit. He blossomed in Milwaukee into what he's become. For sure, because he at one point was one of the top prospects in the Tiger system,
yeah,
and one of the better prospects in Major League Baseball, and then just fell apart for Detroit at the Major League level.
And he's become the steady force, consistency-wise, leadership-wise, where Craig Counsell, Tim asked him during spring training, if you were going to leave the team with one player in charge, who would it be? Aaron Perez.
Yeah, and Counsell had said he thinks Perez can be a manager one day if he wants to be.
That's pretty sweet stuff. David's on the fan. David, is it time to move Braun over to first base?
Hello?
Hello, David. You're on the fan.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay. Okay. I'm a little old-timer, but this hate thing about players, I just don't really get it because back in my generation, when I went to the county stadium and I seen Hank Aaron and Eddie Matthews, there were players like Ernie Banks, Roberto Clemente, Johnny Bench, Donnie Drysdale, Sandy Koufax. Surely they beat us at times. But, man, it was just thrilling to watch these guys play baseball. And I guess so what I'm just trying to say is I don't see how you should hate another player from another team because he maybe cost you a few games. But I guess that's the difference in generations.
Oh, okay, David, that's kind of the question. The question is, who was so good that you couldn't hate?
I
just enjoyed watching.
I'm missing something. So please, So he says that this is a generational thing, that back in his day, fans didn't hate teams,
no, it was
players.
A mutual respect thing.
From the other team. Okay, feel free. If you are somebody that watched the 80s Packers versus Bears, mm-hmm. tell me if you hated players on the Bears. If you watched the Papa Bear Halas versus Vince Lombardi Packers, tell me if you hated guys on the Papa Bear Halas Bears teams. Maybe I've been wrong my whole life, or maybe I grew up around a bunch of people that were adults to me that were like I am, but I've always been under the impression, based on the adults I've been around my life growing up, that everybody hated the 80s Bears with a passion if you were a Packers fan. And everybody in that generation of the 60s hated the Papa Bear Halas Bears as well. Butkus and all those guys couldn't stand those guys. Now, he said that's not true, that this all started with the last decade or so or whatever the heck it may be.
And that's also, also not...
414-799-1250.
I was also kind of caught off guard by the question because, for me, as a millennial, we get bashed because our NBA players are hugging up on each other, talking before playoff games, shaking hands, going
Never
out to dinner,
to
calling each other. We're the soft generation, if you're going to call anybody, saying that we're all friends and not hating each other's rivals.
Yeah.
That makes absolutely no sense.
I saw a band this weekend called the Millennials, and a bunch of young kids playing classic rock, and they were outstanding.
And they called themselves the Millennials.
The Millennials. I saw it. We were down at Strawberry Fest in Long Grove, Illinois, and they were awesome. Actually, it was yesterday afternoon.
Now, I had also heard that there was a Strawberry Fest going on in Cedarburg this
And apparently
weekend.
They had huge, huge numbers. Previous years, they've been on different weekends, so you've been able to go to both. One weekend, one the other weekend, if you wanted to go to both. Mm-hmm. I've always preferred Long Grove's Strawberry Fest over Cedarburg's Strawberry Fest.
Okay.
But yeah, we went to Cedarburg last year, 2 years ago. I don't know.
Could you answer me a question? What do you do at Strawberry Fest? Do you eat strawberries?
All kinds of different ways. They had, at the Long Grove one, they had hot donuts that were literally just coming out of the oil, and they were strawberry donuts.
Oh.
And we got there pretty much right when that thing opened, so we were right there in line.
It doesn't surprise me one bit.
We come back later, and the line was like 40 or 50 people deep, people waiting in line to get these strawberry donuts.
So they turned the donut light on, and you guys were there.
No, they opened
similar
up.
Similar to like a Krispy Kreme.
So like it opened at 10 for people to get in. And see, Cedarburg, there is no admission necessarily. In Long Grove, it's a $5 admission to get in. So everything pretty much opened at like 11. So we got there right at about 11 o'clock and got the strawberry donuts. But they got everything. Chocolate-covered strawberries, strawberry whatever way you want. And Cedarburg does too. They have a lot of different variations on strawberries as well. There. And then there's antique shops in both places that you go in and out of and stuff like that. So, yeah, a lot of fun.
That's understandable. Let's get Steve in here from West Bend. Steve, you're on the fan. Can you answer us the question that Sparky said? That it seemed everyone hated the 70s, 80s Bears. Appears to me that be it.
Without a doubt, hated them. I mean, I grew up, I was a young kid in the 70s and 80s, and I remember sitting there watching football games with my dad. Bears hated them. Didn't matter how good they were, how bad they were. You hated them. They played the Lions. We hated them. The Vikings, I remember when they went to the Super Bowl and they were playing against the Raiders, and my dad said, I don't give a crap what happens. I hope the Raiders put 50 on them. I mean, it was just ingrained into us when we were kids. We didn't respect the other team. You hated that team.
Yep.
And that was the way it was.
Yep.
And it is still to this day. I can't stand any of those teams.
Thank you. Have a good day.
There you go. Yeah,
Thank you. Man after my own heart.
All right.
There you go. That's exactly right.
So you weren't just the spiteful individual. It wasn't just you.
But that's because we were raised by him. But see, and it's not our fault. Hey, he just said pretty much how it was for me. That's how you were raised. That's how the family life was when you were raised. That's kind of how it was. And nowadays, that's not necessarily the case anymore. But that's how
it was.
Don't
you live with
a
Falcons fan?
Yeah. Yeah, he likes his Falcons. Yeah, he's a Falcons fan. And that's because of Madden. Not because of anything else. He liked a player on one of the Falcons teams back when he was in like second grade.
Yeah.
And wanted his jersey, Harry Douglas of all people. And
old number 83.
Right. So that's who he liked, and he's rooted for the Falcons ever since. Got Julio Jones jersey, Matt Ryan's jersey.
I know Frames lives with a Cubs fan. His kid is a Cubs fan just because of the show.
I've always said, and I'll always say, I will never ever make anybody root for a team because I root for him. If they want to root for whoever, go right ahead. I don't care. Be a fan of whoever you want. I'm not going to sit here and tell
Enjoy sleeping in the backyard.
You have to root for somebody.
Yeah. Enjoy sleeping in the backyard because that's where you'll be. You're not sleeping under my roof.
So that's how you're going to be?
Kidding me? Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I ever have kids. 414-799-1250.
What if they're a Cardinals fan then?
Yeah, we'll figure that out. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to work out. I don't know if that.
What would be the worst? Well. Cubs fan, Bears fan, Bulls fan, White Sox fan.
Well,
the worst. Like if you're going to root for a Chicago team, as long as it's not this one, I'm okay.
Probably the Cubs.
That's
just because I've worked closer against the Cubs in the last couple of years. I guess it'd probably be the Cubs. But I don't really care for the Bears either. But I guess I wore the C when I played for Carroll, so the Bears C kind of rubbed off on me. I don't like the Bears, but I at least don't despise every ounce of hatred with that.
I saw there was a basketball camp going on out at Carroll. Basketball camp going on.
Carroll Pioneers.
Lance Allen was there tweeting about it. I had a picture of the basketball gymnasium, all these little kids playing basketball and stuff.
I used to throw down in that gym all day.
Hot dogs or hamburgers?
Both. Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. FM, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. This is 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, alongside Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Appreciate you hanging out, taking us on your way home.
I'll tell you what, you have really, really, really grown the Eric Thames fan base in this town.
Good.
You
Me
really
too.
Have.
Number
you,
seven, baby.
You deserve some credit for it because you really have been banging the drum for Thames pretty much all year. Well, really, his whole contract.
Mm-hmm.
You've been banging his drum.
Oh, yeah. All three of these years, I thought Eric Thames was going to be legit.
Yeah, you really. I mean, I'm just looking at these Twitter people tweeting in here. Everybody on the Thames bandwagon right now.
I just don't. I think for me, part of it is because he had the huge April, obviously, his first year, and had the 9 home runs or whatever he hit against Cincinnati Reds in Cincinnati. And everybody jumped to it that he's going to hit 63 home runs. My goodness. And then he slides through the rest of that year, and you're waiting for a couple of months, and he grabbed you a couple of months later on, August and September of 2017, where he looked like he could rebound and be like a 250 hitter, 25, 30 home runs if he's given the opportunity. He's only got 166 at-bats. He's got 10 home runs this year. Braun's got 250, and he has 12. So, I mean, at this point, the power numbers are kind of evening out that Eric Thames needs to get a shot.
Hey, real quickly, we have Seth Everett coming up in about 8 minutes, but I saw this poll question that was up yesterday from the Post Game Show. Did you see the poll question they had up yesterday?
I did not.
The poll question yesterday on the Fan account was with Jeff Orlovsky, at Jeff underscore Orlovsky, O-R-L-O-S-K-I, if you want to follow him, hating on the fanny pack today. The guys ask, which giveaway day do you wish the Brewers would bring back? Bat day, glove day, or ball day? 263 votes.
It's got to be bat day.
63% bat day. 16% glove day. 14% ball day. 7% other.
Bat day was great. But I was out of the generation for bat day. I don't think I ever went to a bat day. I was just heard all the rumors and speculated pictures of it. I was like, they gave away bats at baseball games?
Pick and Save, I believe.
Makes way more sense.
I'm pretty sure Pick and Save was one of the sponsors of Bat Day.
Because I got into the Glove Day, and it was Century Foods.
They were real wood bats. They were real wood bats.
I always thought they were like little mini bats.
Real wood bats.
Like full-size wood bats that you could actually like hit real baseballs with.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, that was years ago.
Sure.
But we played with our real wood Brewers Pick and Save bat for, I don't know, 10, 12
years. Oh, that's amazing.
Years.
That's even better than I thought it was.
Played in our backyard
Because we used to play with like tennis balls and the mini bats, and you would be able to rock through.
Right.
That's all I thought it was. They actually gave away real wood bats?
They were wood bats, man. I'm pretty sure it was Pick and Save. That was a sponsor. I don't know how many years it was, but I know it was at least one at County Stadium.
Now I'm even more angry.
At County Stadium back in the day. But I remember when ball day was pretty much done at that point.
I'll
never forget it. I was in the parking lot of a BMO Harris Bank in Waterford, and my mom was inside. I was going inside to see my mom on lunch or something, whatever it was. And I remember Euchre just in disgust, saying Brewer fans were throwing baseballs onto the field and they were going to have to stop the game. I remember exactly where I was listening to it.
Oh, he must have been so pissed.
And I was going, oh my God, what are we doing? Like, you are going to be the laughingstock of the entire country when this hits the different sports shows. Yeah, I'll never forget that. So for me, yeah, bad day for sure. Glove day, I don't even remember glove day.
Was it for like a call or something like that? They were launching projectiles onto the field?
No, I think they're just getting their brains beat in early or something like that. And they just started throwing all the baseballs back on the field or something like that.
Because I remember when Joe West got hit in the head with the baseball last year or 2 years ago.
I think it was.
Umping first base.
We got people calling in, so I don't know. Maybe they'll remember better than me. I think it was like right field they were throwing the balls at or something like that. And you could hurt a baseball player throwing baseballs at him, obviously. So,
414-799-1250.
All right, let's go to the phone.
Let's grab Greg on the south side of Milwaukee. Greg, you're on the fan.
Yeah, they had bad days, several of them. We had one of them was Danny Walton. Another one was Rick Auerbach, but they were real bats. We used them to play baseball. We had a blast with those things.
Like full-size 30-inch bats.
Yes.
Full-size bats. We used them to play hardball, and they were awesome. And the greatest thing about it is when everybody had one in their hand and you're rallying or something, you pounded them on the ground. The place was rocking.
That's true.
That's amazing.
That's right. Yep, I remember that.
Tim's in Milwaukee. He's up on the fan. Tim, bad day?
Bad day. It was awesome. I remember, I want to say, early 80s, Mountain Dew was the sponsor. So everybody got a green baseball bat, and they were anywhere from 28-inch to maybe 34-inch. And we played with those things at the field across from my house until they were splinters a couple years later.
That's amazing.
Awesome. That's like the sound of a wood bat.
Appreciate the call. Right, because like when you're playing with wood bats as a kid, you can play with the aluminum bat and it's cool and you can hit the ball farther, and I get like youth baseball, and you can speak more to this. Like there's composite bats, or there's the two-piece bat, and some of them are graphite bat. You can hit them all better and hit more home runs, whatever it is. Playing with a wood bat just makes you feel like a big leaguer.
Look. Those are the bats.
Just give away bats.
Those are the bats.
Full-size bats.
From the 80s into the 90s. Brewers Louisville Slugger promotional and advertising bats. Yep.
Man, that's crazy.
I'm trying to figure out.
If anybody has one that's not broken, let me know.
Oh, it's going to cost you. I promise you, it's going to cost you.
I got like $16.
I think.
You don't think that would do it?
No. So those are the Mountain Dew. That one is the Mountain Dew one there. That's a really dark.
Yeah, that's a very dark green.
Dark green. That was a real thing, folks.
Before Seth Everett, Mike's on the south side. Mike, you're on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Mike.
Real quick, when does Gary and Leroy get back?
Tomorrow.
Oh, cool. Coca-Cola Red Bat Day.
Yep, see it. We got it up here.
I had a neighborhood kid. He was on the team. We had a four-man team. We would just, one would pitch. We'd be up to bat and one outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
He'd make us wait every day because he had the only hardball bat. So we went to the game, got our bats, and we all went to his house and said, you will no longer be needed for the team. And then the baseball opening day against the White Sox, the hated White Sox, couple bad calls, and everyone threw their ball. I didn't throw mine.
Good. I'm proud of you, Mike.
I still don't have the ball, though. I don't know what happened to it.
Proud of you, Mike. Way not to join and conform and throw your ball on the field. Just like if you catch a home run ball in the bleachers. I'm not throwing the ball back. Sorry, everybody. You can yell at me and call me a baby. I'm not throwing the ball back. Seth Everett joins us next. Talk national baseball and your Milwaukee Brewers. And where does he believe the Brewers need to be by the All-Star break to make it into the MLB playoffs, maybe win the NL Central, or be able to take a shot at the whole shooting match? Seth Everett joins Wendy's Big Show next here on The Fan.
The Big Show has the crew covered. Now we check in with our national baseball insider, Seth Everett, sponsored by Exec Park Airport Valet Parking. Locally owned, treating you like an executive for 40 years. Get in, get on, get going at Mitchell Field with Exec Park.
Our national baseball insider Seth Everett joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. Go ahead, Seth Everett, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and Baby Tap.
How does Mickey Callaway have a job today?
That's amazing. I didn't want him to get fired because of it, because I'd like him to be fired for on-the-field reasons, but he should be suspended. He should not be managing tonight. The reporter in question is a real good friend of mine, and I have such respect for the media. The media as a whole has been getting under siege. It's under siege from our president. It's under siege from podcasts and blogs replacing newspapers and radio and television. I know about it all. I cover the sports. And for a franchise to condone just screaming at a reporter for no reason and then a player to lunge at him and have to be restrained, I mean, they both of them should not be in uniform tonight. And I appreciate what Tim is doing, the Newsday reporter. He's not talking to anybody. He's not doing any radio shows. He's not doing anything. And his phone has been blowing up. The New York radio stations are all over him. They're trying to get him on the show. And then Mickey Callaway, I don't know if you saw it, but he just did a little press conference, and he made a joke about it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Bothers me more than any on the field. I don't care who wins or loses.
Quote from Mickey Callaway.
I have been pulling for the Brewers. I make no secret about that. But I don't have a favorite team, and I am so embarrassed, and I'll say this on your radio show, I am embarrassed to have ever been employed by that franchise.
Here is what he said today. Quote, Billy Martin punched a reporter one time. I'm a passionate guy about baseball. I'm a tough competitor, Mickey Callaway.
What a punk.
Yep.
Way to restrain yourself, Seth.
He's just a right. Well, I know this isn't a podcast. This is a radio show. I respect the FCC. There's a great way to get around that, and Wisconsin's a part of it. Do you know that the great way I used to get out of FCC trouble?
Oh,
you know, there's a town in Illinois called Effingham.
I did not know that.
There's a town, Effingham, Illinois, and of course, you know the great city of Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If I said to you, you have to be Effingham Sheboygan me, you don't know what I'm talking about?
I like it.
That's Seth Everett joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Seth, let's talk some other baseball news and what it could mean for the Milwaukee Brewers. Jordan Hicks goes down with a 105-mile-an-hour fastball out of his arsenal and now a UCL tear in his right arm. But the question that I have with this is, it sounds like he's deciding whether to have his surgery of the Tommy John procedure or to rehab it. Is that going to be something you think major league players are questioning if they go and have the surgery?
No, it happens a lot. It happens a lot. It doesn't always get reported. A lot of times when there's a tear, what they say is there a way to rehab it and to repair it without the actual surgery? You know, it's funny. I talked to Tommy John about this. He said, there are people who are definitely afraid of surgeries, and there are people who think that if they can pitch through it and if they can heal on their own, you're talking about a 2 or 3 month layoff as opposed to a 12 month layoff. Mm-hmm. Those can't exist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I understand what the delay is. Is he going to have Tommy John surgery? Eventually he will, but let him go through this process. These 2 or 3 days that they're waiting, that was my other funny thing. I always say about guys who are thinking about having surgery that's going to cost them a season. Like, have the surgery now. I want you back now. Like, this day next year, I want you back. And it never works that way.
When we talk about Major League Baseball right now and how Rob Manfred is trying to fix it and change it and all that fun stuff, do you like this whole all-star voting thing where now we're to the final three at each position, Brewers getting Moustakas, Grandal, and Yelich into the final three?
I think it's another version of American Idol. And as long as you have an internet vote, you have to recognize that fans vote stupid. And there's no reason for it. There's no rhyme for it. And in a sport that is having there's two schools of thought on the All-Star game. Number one, it's supposed to be a big commercial for the sport. I challenge anyone to look at the box scores of the last two All-Star games. And the one thing that you have to recognize when it comes to fan voting is the internet changes the way our mentality is. You know, you guys are on the younger side, But there was a time when you had to go to, like, ballparks and gas stations to go get All-Star ballots.
Yep.
And only the diehards filled them out. Now, any Tom, Dick, and Harry with an email address can vote 15 times. And you know people have multiple email addresses, so they can do 30, 45, 60. Now, one guy sitting at his laptop can do 60 votes for whatever player just because he wants to see his guy in there. There is no looking at statistics. There's no looking at rationale. It's literally a popularity contest. And what happens to at least from my perspective, is it just it loses its weight. Because if fans are voting this, see, the one rule I love is that every team has to have a representative. Because there's a 12-year-old in every city that wants to see their guy. So there's somebody in Fort Lauderdale that should see a Marlin on the All-Star team. Somebody in Baltimore that should see an Oriole, even though these teams are god-awful.
Mm-hmm.
I like that part of it. But if you're going to tell me the fans are going to vote for part of it, and every team has to have a rep, then no one can scream about somebody who gets snubbed.
And maybe it's just because my team is finally good, and I'm a little bit farther removed from the 2004 snot-nosed Billy wanting to cheer to make sure that one Milwaukee Brewer, and if Junior Correct. Spivey makes it to the All-Star game, at least I'm going to have somebody to pull for. But now I almost feel like, and just in the clubhouse earlier this week, looking at it, and you have Mike Moustakas on one side, Seth, and then you have Ozzie Albies on the other side, who's having a very, very good season, hitting .280. Uh-huh. I mean, he's having a good year, but nobody deserves to start that All-Star game at second base more than Mike Moustakas, who's on pace to have 50 home runs, right?
Moustakas has been great. We've been talking about him all season long. He should be there. You know, the good thing about it, the consolation, is that, you know, there is a player vote and there is a coach's vote. I mean, so it's such a convoluted thing, all for a commercial. At least they don't have home field advantage that counts for the All-Star mm-hmm. game anymore. By the way, I know you guys love to rip Cardinal fans. Can we?
Sure, absolutely, anytime you want.
Okay. You guys have seen the absolute adoration for Albert Pujols.
Baby, I loved it. Baby, it was amazing.
To was saying how much he loves Albert Pujols himself. Yeah.
I thought it was great. No, I thought it was great. There's one problem with it. They cheered for him when he hit a home run against your team.
Yep.
They should be ruled ineligible for the postseason.
Well, I mean, that's not their fault. Their fans are idiots. I mean,
you got to be Effingham Sheboygan.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
It's unbelievable. Now, I love the ovations in the beginning. I love the video montages.
Yep.
I love the marriage. I love the Stanton Musial stuff. I thought it was all sweet. It really was. The two things I took away from the weekend was I cannot believe Cardinal fans scream at me on Twitter for as often as they do, because I contend St. Louis is easily the third most obnoxious fan base in baseball.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Because they
and
like to tell you
people call them the best fans in baseball. Just ask them.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Just
they're
ask them.
Self-proclaimed. And if that city got more media coverage, they would know their fan base is as obnoxious as a Red Sox fan or a Yankee fan.
See, I can't.
As a reality, what?
No, well, I mean, I've seen Bucks fans do it at Bucks games where they've cheered for former Marquette players or Badger players doing something on the opposing team as well.
I'm sorry. Hitting a home run against your team?
I know. I'm with you.
In a tight game. Like, it wasn't like the game was over. It wasn't like it was a 7-5 or 7-1 game. It was a meaningful home run.
It was a meaningful home run against your team.
I loved it.
And who are you rooting for? Ultimately, why do you like Albert Pujols? Because he wore your jersey.
Seth, where do you think the Brewers need to be by the All-Star break to be able to make it to the playoffs?
Right where they are.
Right where they're at.
Striking distance. Just right, be in striking distance. Just be, like I said, there's six good teams in the National League. They're one of them. It's okay. Six teams for five spots.
And there's an there'll be an opportunity to add at the trade deadline. I really like Alex Colome. Is there another reliever that Brewers fans should have their eye on or around Major League Baseball that should be available?
Yeah, you know, I definitely think it's a reliever. I think that's the only thing they really, really need. I know there's been talk, and I've read a bunch of articles this weekend about Milwaukee still looking for a starter.
Hold on 1 second, Seth. Hold on, Seth. Baby Tausch, earlier in the show, I tasked him during a segment and said, Baby Tausch, give me the starting five for the Brewers coming out of the All-Star break if you were Craig Counsell and David Stearns, because everybody will be healthy by that point. Baby Tausch, who are your starting five?
Brandon Woodruff, Chase Anderson, Gio Gonzalez, Yolish Chacin, and Zach Davies.
Now tell me that they don't need like
not Jimmy Nelson.
They need no, because he's in the bullpen now. They need two starters and at least two relievers.
No, I disagree. I think they need relievers because what their mentality is they only want two times through the lineup. And I think the five guys that you named can go two times through the lineup and keep you in a ball game. So two times through the lineup on a perfect day is six innings. So in most days it's five.
Right.
So you're looking for four innings for the months of July, August, and September. You're looking for four innings a night from your bullpen. And to me, you need bullets. You need stuff in your holster. Because if you think that Hader and Jeffress are pitching every day and are not going to show warts, they already have. And it's not that they're not having as good a season. They are literally carrying a franchise. Because there's no secret that there's expectations this year. This team is a good team, and the fact of the matter is that every series, oh, well, we can't lose to the Pirates, so let's go to our big arms in the seventh inning. And if you do that every day, they are going to burn out by September. And I have said this about the Dodgers. I say it about the Astros, who can't get out of their own way now. I'll say it about the Yankees, who I don't think are that good. The fact of the matter is the five-game series is the great equalizer. The best team doesn't always win. It's the best thing baseball has going for it. So you need to have arms in the bullpen and assume that your starting pitchers can't get more than two times through the order. To go and waste prospects or money or anything to get starters, when you have that, you need the guys for the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth.
Hey, I got some news here on the Mets. Mets are finding both Mickey Callaway and Jason Vargas for the roles in last night's clubhouse altercation, but issuing no suspensions, and you said they should have been suspended.
They should have been suspended, not fired. They should have been suspended, and the money that they're fined should go to Tim Healy.
That would be nice. That's never going to happen. They're not going to give the media money.
Oh, no chance.
Well, no, if you watch the – go online, and if you see Callaway – who I don't know. I don't know Mickey Callaway personally. I know Terry Francona, who Callaway was the pitching coach for, but I don't know Mickey. I don't have a relationship with him. He will not be welcome on my Sports with Friends podcast. I have no interest in a guy that has no respect for the media.
Well, I have a lot of interest in Seth Everett, and that's why we love talking to you, Seth Everett. It's Sports with Friends and the Hall of Justice. I know Mickey Callaway can't come Effingham anywhere near it, but can we come close?
You guys can come on anytime, but this week I have the winningest goalie in NHL history, Martin Brodeur.
Fantastic.
And on the Hall of Justice, are you guys Smallville fans?
Used to be back when I was a little bit younger. Okay. A lot of young
do you
ladies
remember,
like
Lionel Luther?
I do.
John Glover?
Mm-hmm.
John Glover is on the podcast.
Awesome. There he is.
Yes. We got some fun guests this week coming out. It's all over iTunes. And some guy on Twitter can't play it. I don't know why. I'm trying to help him.
Seth Everett joins us each week, Mondays, 3:48. Seth, we'll talk baseball next week, all right?
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's Seth Everett joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. So there you have it. He believes he should have been suspended, both of them. I think I would have agreed, probably about a week for either one of those. Sparky, your boy, Jordan Turner, inside linebacker, coming soon to Madison, 100% committed. Four-star inside linebacker, fully committed, class of 2020 for the Wisconsin Badgers. How about it?
That's nice.
Aren't you juiced for Badgers football yet?
No.
Is that your boy Caden Johnson, class of 2020?
Until they
four-star recruit on campus this week?
Not until I hear Graham Mertz is starting a quarterback, I will not be juiced. No.
So back in 2021, you'll be excited?
Just saw a thing from blacksportsonline.com. Apparently, Larry Sanders proposed to his girlfriend at the Big 3 basketball game, which he was a part of.
Dang, we missed it? Aw.
Yeah.
Rats. I like Larry Sanders, though. Good for Larry.
I didn't realize the Big 3 started this week until I was reading about Ketino Mobley and some of these other guys. Mm-hmm. Joe Johnson had a big game this week, and Ketino Mobley had a big game. People are going to watch that thing. I'm telling you right now, they've got a bunch of former NBA names
Legit names now. Jet Terry's playing.
That are playing in this thing that people are going to want to see when they come to their town. It's going to be a thing, and I'm going to say it. Said it last year. I'm going to say it again. I don't care if he's 105. Ketino Mobley can still shoot. If you need spacing, he doesn't have to, you know, run a 4-3-40. All he's got to do is get to a spot on the floor and hit
shoot.
A shot.
Yeah.
So he might not be able to defend necessarily all that well, but not a lot of guys in the NBA can defend all that well. But that dude can come off the bench and give you some offense at 100 years old. Just saying.
I said Klay Thompson could have shot threes in a wheelchair. Ketino Mobley's the same way.
Oh, my God.
Any day of the week and twice on Sundays.
So good.
Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. We got your chance at a pair of Summerfest tickets. Use the hashtag Big Show Tickets. Who on your rival team was just so good, you couldn't help but enjoy watching them play? Use the hashtag Big Show Tickets at 105.7 FM, The Fan on Twitter. Wendy's Big Show is back right after this and Anthony Mandel.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.